Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today, with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up on the programme this week, I'll be speaking to Patricia Ebeling from Germany about an endangered minority language called Plattdeutsch. Carmel has focused on some interesting reports to come out of the vast Leviathan that is European news. We'll have some chart-topping music from Greece and Spain, and we'll have a rundown on some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines across Europe as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. The European Consumer Centre is advising people who purchase Christmas goods online to use secure payment options such as PayPal. The centre says lots of gift offers will appear online in the coming weeks, but may be outside the EU, meaning the purchaser will have little or no redress if a paid item is not delivered. Grace Duffy of the European Consumer Centre says for goods bought on the internet within the EU, purchasers have certain rights.
Consumers can benefit from what we call the cooling off period or right of withdrawal, where if they order something online and when they receive it in the post they decide that they don't actually want it, they have up to 14 days to return the item. Consumers also have a right to have an item delivered within 30 days unless a separate period has been agreed with the trader, and they also obviously have the right to redress in the case of faulty or defective goods.
Last Tuesday was European Antibiotics Day. However, despite raising awareness of their strengths, antibiotics can also be bad for you. The HSE is warning people that using certain antibiotics can cause harm, are a waste of money and can even make you sick. Speaking on the HSE website under theweather.ie, Dr. Fidelma Fitzpatrick says certain common viral infections don't need antibiotics at all.
If you have a viral infection, let's say a cold, the best treatment is probably a little bit old-fashioned, but it is the best treatment. It's rest, drink lots of fluids, eat well, and let your body do the fighting, because most viral infections get better on their own.
The European Commission is recommending that people from Ireland living elsewhere in the EU should be allowed to retain their right to vote in this country. Ireland is one of the five EU countries where its European diaspora is prevented from voting in home elections. Barbara Nolan of the EU office in Dublin says the next step on this issue rests with the government here.
The Commission is recommending this. It is not binding. It is up to the Member State. It is up to Ireland to decide whether or not they want to accord that right. I do see that there has been movement in the situation regarding presidential elections. There seems to be some movement in terms of giving people living abroad the right to vote in those. It's up to the Irish authorities whether or not they want to follow this recommendation.
The European Consumer Centre in Dublin is warning phone owners to be vigilant of a text scam that is costing participants thousands of euro. A number of phone owners have received texts saying they have won money in a lottery and are asked to forward their bank details from which funds are stolen. The scammers even have a convincing UK-based website to convince willing participants to cooperate. Grace Duffy of the ECC office in Dublin says there is one key tip to be mindful of.
People should be aware that obviously if they don't remember entering any draw like this, or if they haven't explicitly contacted a company to enter a draw like this beforehand, then it's extremely unlikely that it's actually legitimate. And especially if the company is seeking large amounts of personal information, that can be a red flag, especially if they're seeking financial details.
Dublin MEP Brian Hayes had something to say on the issue of the so-called Trichet letter when he met with a delegation of Irish national journalists in Brussels last Tuesday, including yours truly from Europe Today, which was organised by the European Commission of Ireland.
So, I said yesterday to Draghi, and I said it publicly, I'll repeat it again, the reality is the bailout letters really are not the issue. Yeah, they're part of a discussion and dialogue, but the real issue is that on two occasions when we were in government, in March 2011, I remember it well, when we tried to get agreement from, I've been going to try to get agreement from Draghi, or from Trichet, on the second recapitalisation, looking for some senior debt write-down, didn't get agreement there. And on the bigger first recapitalisation plan, when Brian Lennon was there, we didn't get agreement. That's our skin in the game, as I see it. Because that's the bit That didn't happen to us as it happened to Greece, as it happened to Cyprus, as it had happened with the new resolution 2 that we passed through Parliament. So they need to engage. I think they will engage. And I think, as far as I can understand from the committee back home, what the committee back home want is a full perusal of the documentation. And I suspect that documentation will be as difficult for the Irish government as it will be for the ECB. That's my sense.
The Irish economy is continuing to grow at a faster rate than any other in the European Union. The Republic of Ireland will record economic growth of 4.6% in 2014. New data out recently from the European Commission also indicates that unemployment here will fall to 8.5% in 2016 from its current position of 11.1%. Barbara Nolan of the EU office in Dublin says the future signs for the Irish economy are all good.
The recovery is being fueled by strong exports. And domestic demand is also gathering steam. The high levels of indebtedness are also being reduced of households in Ireland. It's not good that the rest of the Eurozone isn't growing at the same pace, but for the moment, anyway, the Irish forecasts are looking particularly positive.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Ireland has warned David Cameron it is virtually inconceivable that he will achieve changes to the EU rules of free movement in order to limit immigration to the UK. Foreign Minister Charlie Flanagan has said he supported freedom of movement and cautioned the British Prime Minister against making threats to get what he wants. He made the comments in a speech at Westminster while Cameron was at the G20 summit in Australia. A mixed picture has emerged on the state of the Eurozone. Analysts said the figure suggested the region might fend off another recession, but the recovery would be painfully slow, and they warned it would likely slow again before the year is out. Overall, the economy of the 18th member bloc expanded by 0.2% over the summer, compared to the second quarter. France, the Eurozone's second largest economy, beat market forecasts fractionally and rose by 0.3%. Europe's powerhouse, Germany, has managed to avoid slipping into recession, despite repeated recent economic data that suggested it might. Its economy grew by 0.1%. The EU has boosted humanitarian assistance and recovery aid to Ukraine. It has provided an additional €3.3 million to help the most vulnerable population affected by the ongoing conflict in eastern Ukraine to meet their basic needs and to prepare for the approaching winter. This comes on top of the previously announced €7.75 million, bringing the Commission's total funding to over €11 million since the beginning of the crisis. The yearly report on EU education and training confirmed that Ireland has the highest third-level education attainment rate in the EU, with 53% of Irish 30 to 34-year-olds having had third-level education, compared to an average of 37%. Ireland's four-year-olds have also fared well, with 99.1% of them in early childhood education and care, compared to an EU average of 93.9%. The European Court of Justice recently ruled that economically inactive EU citizens who go to another member state solely to obtain social assistance may be excluded from certain social benefits. The Court of Justice pointed out that under the Directive on Free Movement of EU Citizens, the host member state is not obliged to grant social assistance during the first 3 months of residence. 2015 has been designated as European Year for Development, with the motto, Our World, Our Future, Our Dignity. It is an opportunity that must be taken to raise citizens' awareness of the EU's contribution to fighting hunger and eradicating poverty worldwide, said MEPs, and it must also anchor development thinking in institutions around the world, they said. The EU finance ministers have adopted a regulation aimed at improving market transparency for retail investors. The regulation is part of a package of measures to boost consumer trust in financial markets. It sets out to ensure that retail investors always receive the information they need to take informed decisions. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Να σε ζητάω σαν τρελός και μες στη ζάλη του μυαλού νιώθω πως είναι σε αλλού. Μες στον καθρέφτη μια σκιά μου τάζει έρωτα άλλα. Ξέρω στην τρέλα μου οδηγεί, λείπω εγώ. Καράβια στη στεριά. Σκουριάζω μόνος μου κι εγώ, μακριά από σένα πώς να ζω. Άργο πεθαίνει μοναξιά, η ελπίδα κλαίει στα κρυφά. Όλο το είναι μοδηγής, φωνάζω δεν μ' ακούει κανείς. Όταν αγαπάς σε λιμάνια, στα ακούς και σε τρένα πηγαίνεις και τρέχεις και πας. Όταν αγαπάς δεν υπάρχει γραμμή να χωρίζει τι θέλεις, την πρέπει τιμή. Όταν αγαπάς το μυαλό δεν μιλάει, η καρδιά μ' απαντάει σε ό,τι ρωτάς. Όταν αγαπάς μαζί δεν μ' αγαπάς. Όταν αγαπάς σε λιμάνια, σταθμούς και σε τρένα πηγαίνεις και τρέχεις και πας. Όταν αγαπάς μα εσύ δεν μ' αγαπάς.
That's Greek artist Stan, and it's a track called Otan Agapas. And if you're sitting on a beach in Crete or Rhodes, that's probably what you'd be listening to on the radio.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
In the Middle Ages, Plattdeutsch, or Low German, as it is called in English, was the predominant language in northern Germany and an important language for trade and commerce as the lingua franca of the Hanseatic League. In 2010, there were only approximately 700,000 Plattdeutsch speakers in northern Germany, half as many as spoke the dialect 20 years before. Experts have estimated that Plattdeutsch will have disappeared entirely in another 20 years. Dr. Reinhold Goltz of the Institute for Niederdeutsch Spreche has described the possibility as fatal, as a large portion of regional identity and history would disappear with it. Recently, Europe Today spoke to Patricia Abeling, who was one of those few people that can converse in Plattdeutsch, to find out a little bit more about this endangered minority language. We caught up with Patricia at the Berlitz Language Institute on Merrion Street, Lower, here in Dublin. Patricia, thanks for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today. Patricia, can you give us a brief overview on Plattdeutsch?
So thank you for inviting me and listening to what I've got to say about Plattdeutsch. So, first of all, it's a big discussion now on in Germany whether Plattdeutsch is a language or just a dialect. I think the people calling it a language, they are quite right, because Plattdeutsch covers a really big area in whole Germany, from the very close to the border of the Netherlands and even in the Netherlands, up to the very north of Germany, to the Danish border in Flensburg. And there are several dialects within this language, so a person from the Dutch border wouldn't understand everything.
Okay. So within the actual Plattdeutsch, there's dialects, which sort of compounds the issue that you say, that it is a separate language, because within its... within Plattdeutsch itself,
exactly,
there is dialects anyway. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's for me a good point to call it a language.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's when talking about the words, there are so many words not used in High German, and even a High German or a person from the south of Germany wouldn't understand. So you've got to learn vocabulary.
Yeah.
You've got to learn a language if you want to start Plattdeutsch.
Okay.
And so when I moved to the north of Germany 20 something years ago, I found I didn't know that they would be my parents-in-law, but they became. They were talking Plattdeutsch all the time, and I didn't get a clue what they were talking about, so it took me about months to understand what's going on.
Okay.
And so what's really interesting for me is that Plattdeutsch became now, or it's taught more in school after years of ignoring the dialect, because
would be in the region that it actually is, that where people speak it. It's not being taught in the regular schools right across Germany.
No, they just wanted to speak the children High German.
Yeah.
And so Plattdeutsch was something with the poor, the lower class.
Okay.
And
but again, it's in a particular region. I think somebody mentioned to me about it. There's a couple of islands in the North Sea. Where is the region? Can you tell us, roughly the region that this Plattdeutsch would be predominant?
So, predominant is definitely in Friesland, what we call Friesland, which covers the islands in the North Sea, and the coastal area, more or less. So let's say about 200 kilometers into the land side. That's really the core of Plattdeutsch.
Right.
And although in the Netherlands, the eastern part of the Netherlands, a lot of people speak their dialect of Plattdeutsch.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So to sum up, Patricia, in the schools, Plattdeutsch in the Frisian area is being taught again. It's being reintroduced. The two languages are, and there is concern among the people themselves. Within the sort of the higher end of the government, is there concern? Do people know that there is a concern there, or is it just like paying lip service to the whole idea?
That's a difficult question. It's just they really want to support it. I'm sure that that's really their intention, but it's not on the top of the list.
Okay. And the people themselves.
The people themselves, they really, I think.
They're not going, as far as you're concerned. As far as they're concerned, they're not going to let this language die.
No.
It may be endangered at this stage.
But it surely will survive.
Okay, would you be able to say that for me?
As
far as the people are concerned, because I need what we need, what we call as an out.
Okay.
So if you were able to say, as far as the Frisian people are concerned, they're not going to let the language die.
So as far as the Frisian people are concerned, they won't let the language die out, definitely not.
Fantastic, Patricia. Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time out to talk to us on Europe Today.
What a pleasure.
Deja que hable, deja que hoy te cuente cómo quema que te vayas. Entre lágrimas me duele. Déjame verte una despedida y ya me quedo en este infierno al ver que hoy me olvidas. Párale los pies a ese reloj que nos controla, que no nos deja ser, que apaguen el sol de una vez. Recuérdame, ahora que ya decidiste ir con él, que sea lo que deba ser, aunque a mí me toque perder. ¿Dónde piensas irte? Vayas donde vayas, sé que ya no voy a perseguirte. ¿Cuánto le amas? Besa como beso. Dime que aún no te ha tocado como lo hicieron mis dedos. Párale los pies a ese reloj que nos controla, que no nos deja ser, que apague en el sol de una vez. Recuérdame, ahora que ya decidiste ir con él, que sea lo que deba ser, aunque a mí me toque perder. Adiós, perderte y no volver a verte más. Si pudieras revivirme, prométeme buscarme como una vez lo hiciste. ¿Por qué te vas si yo me pierdo? Mi cuerpo entero en llamas. Recuérdame, ahora que...
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to Patricia Abeling from Germany and to everybody in the Berlitz Language Institute for facilitating that wonderful opportunity to speak to Patricia. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, which is europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various issues that we spoke about as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.